This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of s***.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He called the s***.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Okay, PFW in Progress here. Tom Casale with Paul Perillo. Paul will be with us for the first hour, and I imagine Andy Hart for the second. Is that correct, Paul?
Yeah, that's the way we got it worked out right away.
You're okay. Making my point.
It's webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 if you want to give us a call. We just had Belichick's press conference, open locker room, and as Fred Kirsch would say, what's going on, Paul?
First of all, before we even get into the show, I have to make a comment here. Tom, this is as down as I've heard you. What is going on with
someone
Tom Casale?
Someone else just said that to me earlier.
I didn't notice it earlier before the press conference. Was it that all that Detroit
know.
Is a powerfully explosive offensive and defensive club that has you concerned? Are you down now?
I don't know. Someone said I'm not my normal bubbly self.
No,
apparently
you're not.
It's someone who didn't know me that well. I don't know. Maybe it's maybe I'm just not that excited for the game. Possibly.
Well, that might be a little let down from the Bears last week.
You know,
was a big game.
Miami's coming up.
Miami's
That'll
coming up,
game.
And I wouldn't put it in the Bears game category, but it should be a good
game.
Yeah,
it's always interesting to go down there and watch them play. So maybe this is a sandwich game for me.
Well, in normal times, I would call it the cliche trap game.
Right.
But I just don't think the Lions are good enough to have this be a trap game.
No, I think the Patriots could play bad and win by 10 points.
They could be stuck in the trap at 3.5 quarters
yeah.
and still win this
right.
game, in my opinion. But,
it's the NFL. Anything can happen.
Right.
It's just, you see, at this point in the season, when you're playing a 2-9 team, it's kind of like the Saints last year, even though the Saints gave the Patriots a run there at the end. It just, you don't ever feel like the Patriots are going to lose. You know what I mean? And for sports writers, I think that takes a little bit of the excitement out of it because you like to come in, with a
not knowing what's
yeah not knowing you don't want in other words you don't want to have your story done at the end of the first quarter, which I imagine will be at least halfway into if this game goes the way we expect it to. But it's like I said, it's the NFL. You never know, and we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, upsets do happen, and look, Detroit has some talented football players, and I think the difference in talent, pure talent top to bottom, from the first team to the last team in the NFL is probably not that great. It's not like college
right.
where, the first place team is playing the last place team in a conference, and it's just, night and day in terms of
talent. Yeah, it's not like when, Rutgers plays Syracuse, for
right.
instance.
You know, you expect the 38-7 pace thing that Rutgers gave them.
But, it'll be interesting. Mike Martz, that's a kind of interesting, storyline. Him and Belichick kind of matching wits again. Obviously, they did in the Super Bowl, and Belichick came out on the winning end there, and he was talking today about Martz's offense, all the different formations and everything he runs. And my question would be, if they're so complicated and so hard to stop, why are they scoring 10 points a game?
Right, and well, not surprisingly, I'm just looking at NFL Network right now. Priest Holmes out for the season.
They announced. Wasn't that announced in the preseason?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose
it became
official when the window expired on his PUP, I would guess. But back to the Mike Martz situation, and I think that not surprisingly, that was a majority of the press conference today. Belichick talked a lot about the multiple formations and the complicated nature, as you just talked about, Tom. But you're right. I mean, in my opinion, when Martz had the personnel to run that offense, he couldn't beat Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen now that he really has only Roy Williams and nothing else to run that offense? What's going to happen?
Right. And, you know, especially, and I know they weren't running the ball well with him, but without Kevin Jones in there, he at least gives you another playmaker if he's on the field. He, like Belichick says, he's caught 50 passes so far this year. So even when he's not running well, he can at least catch the football. And if he's not able to go, you're down to Arlen Harris and Avion Kaysen, and, you know, those aren't NFL caliber running backs. It's, and they're not gonna, they'll be lucky to get 30 yards on the ground this week against the Patriots.
Well, I guess that, politician there that was used to be the offensive coordinator for the Raiders got fired today.
Yeah, did you see who they replaced him with?
No.
Shoup. Let me tell you something. If anyone knows a Bears fan, mention the name Shoup to him and then run for your lives. I know someone who's a Bears fan. If you even mention the name Shoup, he takes out a baseball bat and chases you with him. It's like going from bad to worse. And this guy is the total opposite. He throws 1 yard passes the entire. Bears fans couldn't stand him because he never threw the ball over 3 yards. So they took.
Is
they
this
took
the guy that
John Shoup.
Did he succeed Gary Croton?
Yeah, it was yeah, was it that way or was it the other
was
way
the
around?
Way around. Okay,
it was one or the other. They definitely were 1-2. I can't remember who came first, but I mean. I just remember Bears fans. I've never seen a coordinator take a beating like that. Maybe Buddy Hackett there in New York was the only other
Buddy
one.
Buddy Hackett.
But, yeah, they go from a guy who wants to throw the ball 80 yards down the field to one who wants to throw it 1 yard. So that's
well,
a mess.
I suppose they got their way. If they wanted to change it up, they found a change. But, yeah, the whole thing with this Lions game is basically – you know, and Andy brought this up on our TV show last night. I thought it was an excellent point, and I can say that because he's not here, so yeah. I have to give him credit.
Hope he's not listening.
But it's a perfect game for the Patriots to kind of break in their new personnel. And I know they got it; they had to do it on the fly against Chicago when Seau went out. But this gives you an opportunity to not only play with Vrabel inside next to Bruschi and have Banta, Kane, and Colvin outside, but if things go well and you play well, you might have a chance to get a guy like Pierre Woods some defensive snaps, a guy like Eric Alexander some defensive snaps, and find out exactly what you have in terms of depth here and get them a little bit of experience on the regular season experience.
I forgot all about Eric Alexander until you mentioned his name.
Yeah, well, Bill mentioned his name today at the press conference.
So,
he must have been zoning out in one of your down.
This is
Tom Casale, the blue period.
I totally forgot about him inside too, but geez, you think that at some point he would have gotten some playing time somewhere along the line. If it's I don't know,
yeah,
they
he's a guy evidently that can play inside or out,
right.
And he really hasn't played either.
So if luckily I'm over here. I thought I'm over by Gostkowski's locker waiting for him, who never showed up, but I see someone walking in on crutches going into the trainer's room. And I just saw him from behind, and he was wide, and I was like, oh, my God, was that Vince Wilfork?
Yeah.
it ended up being Billy Yates, but for a moment there, I thought the Patriots
had a scoop.
Yeah, I thought I had a scoop.
You're going to run upstairs and put it on the website?
But,
don't check it, just write it.
I should have known why no other reporter's head was turning when they all realized it was Billy Yates.
I wanted to bring something up, Tom, and get your opinion on this. And I know that you're a sports fan. I know you football is your favorite sport, but I know you like sports in general. I heard some talk on talk radio this morning. Sean Merriman's coming back
mm-hmm.
for San Diego. And the whole debate that was brought up was, why is it in baseball, when a guy is caught cheating, he's kind of banished or he's a pariah? I mean, Barry Bonds, Mark mm-hmm. McGwire, Sammy Sosa, you name it. These guys are scoffed at, ridiculed, laughed at. But Sean Merriman gets caught for steroids. He's going to miss 4 games. They can't wait to get him back. He's, you know, one of the bright young stars in the NFL, probably one of the 5 best defensive players in the league, and no one seems to hold it against him.
Well, my theory would be either consciously or subconsciously, I think people realize that everybody in the NFL is on steroids. And I don't mean every person, but there's a good majority of people on steroids. And I think for some reason they don't think it goes on in other sports as much. And that would be my guess, is that when you see football, you're just assuming these 300-pound monsters might be on something. But then when a baseball player does it and he's hitting home runs, people get stunned by it. But I think it's in every sport.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with you, and I think that probably is the predominant reason. And
because this is a game of strength and speed, and they'll say, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But in baseball, it's eye contact. You know, there's different. It's not always strength and speed. And I think people think, well, then now it's cheating because you're giving yourself an advantage. But here, you're really not, because they're assuming everyone's doing it.
And I think taking it a step further, I think the records that are broken in baseball, for whatever reason, they're like these sacred numbers that are, you know, the 61 home runs and, you know, whatever, 3,000 hits and 500 home runs or whatever. Now, obviously, you're getting to 714 home runs and beyond to 755. These numbers, are, you know, as a baseball fan, you grow up and they mean so much to you. And they're going away. Football doesn't have those numbers. You know, Sean Merriman, what's he going to do? You know, if he sets the sack record, do you know what that is?
What the number is?
Yeah, I know Strahan has it.
Oh, no, I don't know what the exact number
is.
No.
24, 23,
In my opinion, there's one decent football record, and it's the rushing record. And it's because he gets broken once every 25. It's not one of those records like the touchdown record that gets broken, is getting broken every year now. You know, you had, I forgot, it was, I think it was Van Buren, someone before Jim Brown, maybe Van Buren.
Steve Van Buren?
I don't know who it was, but you had him, you had Jim Brown, you had Walter Payton, and you had Emmitt Smith. Now, those are the best players that have ever played the position. They get
talking about the all-time
rushing record.
Okay.
That's really the only football record of major importance, I would say, like where people kind of...
But even then, do you know the number?
I don't know the number.
And you're a huge Emmitt Smith fan.
No, it's... No, and what I was going to say is, even though that's probably the biggest, it still doesn't hold a candle to any of the records in baseball, you know, and those are, like you said, sacred records. And if you're going to break them and you're cheating to do it, I think people, you know, people, but who's to say Emmitt Smith wasn't on steroids? We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I really think a vast majority of professional athletes are on something.
Well, and, you know, Peter Gammons, and I'm with you on the McGuire thing. I don't even know why his name is being brought up for the Hall of Fame. I think it's an embarrassing joke, to be honest with you. The guy hit home
runs. I'm not
here
to talk about the past.
I mean, you know, who's next? Dave Kingman? Are we going to put him in the Hall of Fame? He hit some home run. I know he hit more than Dave Kingman, but I'm just saying. But Peter Gammon said he would vote for McGuire. And the reason
they
is...
They all say that. Jason Starr.
Right, they all did. They all,
Tim Kirkman.
Right, they all,
you know,
all
guys that
vote
I respect. Buster
I was
Olney.
Surprised by that. But Gammon's reasoning was... Say that he was on steroids, like he probably was, you know, and he broke the records, but he said in a 20-year span, there's no way of knowing, you know, how many people are on steroids. He says, you know, I believe it's probably in the thousands. So now we have to go through and test, you know, it's impossible. So he's voting on it because he thinks he belongs for his baseball, what he done in baseball, which I disagree with. Because I think he would be borderline at best, probably. I mean, he's got a low average. He has a low on-base percentage.
That's the point that I made,
He struck out a lot.
He didn't do anything at a Hall of Fame level other than hit home runs. And then to find out, on top of that, that perhaps that ability was aided by illegal substances, to me makes it a no-brainer that he's out. But I got to tell you, if I knew nothing about steroids in baseball right now, he'd be a borderline candidate for me. Based on his merits,
now,
he'd be a borderline candidate.
The argument, I guess, you could bring up against that, and I don't know his numbers, would be, I guess, Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson was a great outfielder in his day. Reggie Jackson did a lot of things.
All right, well, that's why I'm saying I was kind of really young when Reggie Jackson played. I remember him.
Reggie Jackson was a very good all-around player. He kind of became a caricature of himself later in his career.
See, that's what I remember, the guy who swung hard and sometimes fell over.
But he hit over 500 home runs and, let's face it, did it on the biggest stage of them all as well in the World Series. That's why I don't ever think of Mark McGuire as dominating his time.
No, he wasn't a good fielder. I mean, he was an awful fielder.
Bad fielder, constantly injured, did never hit for a good average, never drove in a lot of runs for a guy who hit as many home runs as he did.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he was that good. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting the way we treat the baseball cheaters as opposed to the way we treat
right.
the football cheaters. And I think you nailed it. You hit the nail right
on
the head.
Well, it's even the media, too.
Absolutely.
You know, like, oh, well, they were 4-0 without Merriman. Now they're getting their best player back.
It's like a midseason acquisition.
Yeah. So that would be my only guess. I think there's guys doing it in basketball. It's all over.
Don't tell me Ben Wallace is nuts.
I was going to say, if you want a perfect example, I'll give you Ben Wallace's lifting regimen sometime, and you tell me that sounds like a normal human being.
Before we leave this topic altogether, I just, you know, the Peter Gammons thing about there's so many guys in that 20-year span that did it in the thousands. So basically you're saying we can't punish everyone, so we'll punish no one? That's basically the argument? Doesn't make
any
sense to me.
I guess that's what he's saying.
I mean, what if, God forbid, what if, I don't know, what if you, like, law enforcement was like that? Well, geez, there's so many murders being committed. But we can't catch them all, so let's not worry about catching any of them.
Yeah.
We know that this guy did it, right?
Right?
So you got to make a stand. What message does that send? I don't get it.
I was surprised that all those guys would
The adoration from the ESPN family toward the athletes to me is appalling. That's 2 days in a row I've used the word appalling.
Well, let me see. Russ Goldman chimes in on this subject here.
Oh, good.
Let's see what we got here.
Shut up and talk about the Patriots, let me guess.
No, just to let you know, Buster Olney said he would not vote for McGuire this year. He will wait and see in the future if he will vote for him down the road.
Oh, I thought I saw him say yes, he would. Maybe I saw something different.
But I know the other guys.
I know
the other guys said yes.
Kirkjian is embarrassing. And I respect him a lot. I think he's great. But I don't respect him on this issue. He
no.
thinks the steroids have nothing to do with anything. They're all great players and great guys.
Well... Does he have a vote?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, speaking of, by the way, you weren't here when this happened. I'd like our listeners to know this. You want to know how these votes work? Just so you know how the Heisman Trophy is voted on, I want you to know this. Me and Andy Hart heard this conversation. A reporter from Chicago was talking about Brady Quinn. Now, listen, I don't like Brady Quinn, but if you don't have him in your top three for the Heisman, they should take your freaking ballot away. You know, it should be Smith, McFadden, I think, and then Brady Quinn are the top three.
That would be my top.
So this guy says, you know what he says? Well, I don't know who I'm going to vote for. First he says the guys who were up for it have fallen off the map, like McFadden and Rice. Well, first of all, McFadden had 180 yards rushing against the third-ranked rush
McFadden
defense.
McFadden fell off the
yeah,
map
that's
with
what
that
he said.
Plus he completed some passes.
Yeah, so basically he doesn't watch college football. Then he says...
McFadden fell off the map. That's the best college football player I've seen all year.
I know. And then he says, well, I'm not voting for Brady Quinn because I don't like him. Well, there you go. There's how the Heisman Trophy is voted on, ladies and gentlemen. I don't like Brady Quinn, but you can't let personal, you know, I don't like this guy. Hey, I thought Joseph Addai was going to stink, but you know what? He's got my vote for Rookie of the Year, him and Colston. So that's life. But that's how they're voting on the Heisman. I don't like Brady Quinn, so I'm not going to vote for him. That's how much these things really mean in life. I should complain. He should have his
was
stinger
vote. Was that in
vote.
The press box?
Yeah, in the press box.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, McFadden fell off the map right after, and I said to Andy, I said, boy, that 178-yard performance against LSU really made him look bad in the eyes of the high.
But plus, I mean, is there a guy that does more for his team?
Right. But you know what, though? Here's the problem with the Heisman Trophy voting. It's too much based on one game. This guy saw Brady Quinn play against USC. Now he thinks he sucks. Well,
that's the other thing, too, is there, you know, and I saw Desmond Howard talking about that. Before the USC game, he said Brady Quinn's out because he had one game against Michigan and he failed.
Yeah, and he's thrown like 25 touchdowns and no interceptions since.
And I'm going to agree with Tom here. I don't think a whole lot of Brady Quinn. I think he's highly overrated. However, that doesn't mean he's not one of the best players in college football.
Right.
I think, you know, you're judging on one game or one game window. You know, I used to vote for stuff like that, you know.
Oh, did you?
You know, I used to get stuff... at the Herald, Tom, and the Naismith Award in basketball.
Yeah.
I used to vote for that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
See, I just think if you're doing that, you should take it somewhat seriously.
I did.
You know, I just sitting around saying I don't like Brady Quinn.
There he is, Andy Hart, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Now my mood's getting even worse.
Tom's not happy, by the way.
I don't know. Grogan and Paul said I'm down today.
Well, you look down to me in the locker room.
My mic on?
What?
Just so you know, everybody thought you were down. We were watching you wait for Steven Goskowski like a little boy waiting for his lost puppy to come home. You were just standing there kind of all droopy and moping, and he never came.
No, I was just waiting for him.
Did he ever come?
No, never came.
By the way, I know Fred likes to have us report little things we see. They're practicing on the game field today. I don't know if you went over that. They're out in the stadium trying to tear up that field turf best they can. Get a sloppy track to run on this week against the Lions. And there's also a big tour of mucky mucks outside that I had to pass through. There's like 50
of them. Is that why I couldn't park?
I don't know.
Maybe that's why I'm in a bad mood.
No, that was, there's some sort of groundskeeper exposition and show here today. And to which I said, isn't that a wee bit ironic that they couldn't grow grass here and they're having a convention about grass growing?
And do they have to park in our spots?
Yeah, Fred must have been excited. A lot of like F-250s and big pickup trucks out there that he could kind
of weave
through and lust after because he has no pants on
and lets his wife get in the car. Like Sharon.
Did you hear that story? Fred wanted a new car, but Nikki's getting her second new car in 2 years, so Fred can't get one.
He'll be driving the Jeep until he's 80.
Yeah, I heard the story. It sounds to me like Fred tried to be a tough guy and got burnt on it.
Because he told her to find if you can get the deal.
And she came back with the numbers, and he had to say, well, I guess I'm...
If you can get the payments to be the same as they are now, then you can do okay.
So now he's saying, I guess $165,000 will be turning into $200,000 on the Jeep.
I go, Fred, isn't this thing going to die? God, these things go forever, he goes.
And you know what's funny? I'm flipping through the paper last night, and there was like one of those handyman car guy question things. And I see, like, Jeep engine known to last, and it's about how it's, like, an old-fashioned steel engine, not this new aluminum. It goes forever. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, Freddie knows what he's talking about.
When it's not football-related, yes.
All right, well, let's get to the emails.
Yeah, I mostly came down to eat, just so you know.
All right, we got Cecilia from Boston. She said, did you see how Peyton Manning reacted when he threw to Harrison and an Eagle DB took the ball out of Harrison's hands? Did you see Vic's behavior to the fans? That just gives more proof that the Pats are very lucky to have Brady as their franchise quarterback. He is just cool on and off the field, which makes him the best franchise quarterback today. Did Brady's character on and off the field resemble any of the quarterbacks with the same caliber in the past? Now that the Pats have 5 running backs on the roster, who do you think will get cut for next season? Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Did anybody see the Tom Brady run for a first down where he kind of juked Brian Urlacher out of his cleats and then went up and told him about it about 2 seconds afterwards? Anybody see that play?
I saw it.
Might have been an important play in the game. Anybody check that one out?
Has anybody seen him sulk and sulk and sulk after losses?
I've seen it.
I don't know why we do this. I really don't. But
we us or we New Englanders?
We everybody. New Englanders and us. Why we look at individual plays from
wasn't it Harrison sulking?
Yeah, and by the way, the whole story right now in Indianapolis is body language of Marvin Harrison.
And you know what?
Who left the field, by the way, before the first half was over.
And you know what, Paul? You talked about Eric Moulds. I'm going to go and say Harrison is the most fraudulent good guy in football. This guy's complained. He doesn't. I'll give him credit. He doesn't do it in the media. He's not T.O. He doesn't go to the media. But he does sulk at times when he doesn't get the football. He's done it before, and he's doing it now. And, you know, when you're 9-1, you shouldn't be sulking about anything. You know,
I'll tell you who else was sulking. Fantasy owners like me who have him on his team.
He only lost by 40 points. I'm sure you were right.
Well, you got nipped this week?
Yeah, he got nipped by 40.
Freaking killed. And I did check. It wouldn't have made a difference if I had known that Kevin Jones was hurt and made the change on Thanksgiving. Wouldn't have even been close. Although if I had started Green and Chad Pennington instead of Rivers and Jones, I would have been in the ballpark.
Boring!
Suck it, Trebek.
I mean, who are you, Tony Kornheiser? Enough.
I have hair on the top of my head. I don't look like a cancer patient.
You're out. You had your chance. You're out of the playoffs. All right. Michael from Madison.
Paul's giving me that look like I shouldn't have just said that. Is that inappropriate?
Yes.
Sorry to anyone I may have offended.
This may be Michelle. Gary, what is this? Michael?
Michael Tollison.
Okay, Michael. Looks funny. Hey, guys, it's been a while. Anyways, was it my imagination or was this the loudest non-playoff home game at Gillette Stadium ever? Mind you, I was watching on TV, but I have Never heard it that constantly loud at the Razor throughout the whole game, barring the playoffs, of course. Good for you fans. Keep it up, and I hope this is a sign of things to come. Did you guys notice this as well?
Yes.
Yeah. I turned
it
to
was
Andy
pretty loud, yeah.
in the middle of the first quarter and said, wow, fans are into this one. It was just so quiet generally. That
I was exceptionally impressed by the Teddy Bruschi chant that started when he stayed down for a moment. I mean, it couldn't have been 15 seconds later that they were chanting, Teddy, Teddy. And for them to get something like that going that quickly, I was pretty impressed. You know, they gave Seau, you know, the sort of New England appropriate hand as he walked off, knowing that maybe he's done. Yeah, the only game I thought the opener was very loud, that Pittsburgh
The very
opener.
First game here.
But between then and now, I think this was the best game.
Okay.
Sunday it'll be like they're watching a movie again. It's just the Lions.
It should be.
Yeah.
I might actually bring a movie.
Yeah, we might be watching movies because we'll be done with our writing.
Should I put Caddyshack up on the video board?
I would. Dwayne Smith has a long email. I got a new rule. When I'm the host, I'm not reading long emails, so I'm going to read a little bit of it. So don't send in long emails today. Just say, like, screw you, Casale, or something like that. I can't speak for every Pats fan, but I can say what left me unimpressed about the Pats game against the Bears. They not only made turnovers, but turnovers in the same fashion that they've made in other games. The only difference was that unlike in games the Pats against some AFC contenders, they were playing with a lead against a team with a very young and inconsistent quarterback. Every time the Pats play a good team, we say, well, imagine how this game would have gone if the Pats didn't turn it over five times. However, the Pats always turn it over five times against playoff caliber defenses.
Well, that's a concern. I mean, you look at the last several games that they've lost or, you know, been involved in very tight games, and that's a common theme in most of them, is they've turned the ball over multiple times. You're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs and get away with it very often. Probably a little fortunate to have gotten away with it on Sunday.
And I think that's why Bill gave him a chewing out
after
the game, because he knew that they got away with one, and they're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs.
I also think because he focused so much clearly going in on protecting the ball, and when they don't do it, it's sort of a slap in the face to, we spent the whole week doing it. What's going on?
Dwayne also says, I buy it that Asante may not be worth $15 million signing bonus, but would you think a consistent starting corner, what would you think a consistent starting corner would be worth? Keep in mind, this would be an inflated cap year with estimations hovering around $110 million. Would the extra space allow for a bonus that large with proper salary structure?
But yeah, I mean,
it'll allow for it.
Yeah.
They can physically do it if they choose to, but their philosophy is what would restrain them.
They haven't really done it, and I'm not sure that he's a player worth doing it for. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. Yeah, the Indy's absolutely right. They can do it. Without question, they can afford it. You know, they could have afforded Adam Vinatieri. They could have afforded David Gibbons or Deion Branch, but it kind of goes counter to their principles. And it's hard to argue that they're wrong until they bottom out because of it. And when you continue to be a contender, and I think we can all agree that they're a contender at the very least, don't you? Even Tom. And Tom's very down today, Andy. I call it his blue phase. It's in his blue period. You know, what's that? What's the artist that went through the blue period? Did that Van Gogh?
Picasso. I only know like four, so.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not feeling well, I'm telling you. That's why I got to get to college football. I'm more equipped for a college football season. These long NFL seasons are killing me.
He's hitting the wall.
He's hit the sophomore wall.
Well, Fred said to me on the way down yesterday, you hitting the rookie wall? And I said, well, yeah, except I've been here 2 years now, Fred.
Well, but technically, you got a little of the Rex Grossman because you got here a little bit into the season. So this is technically your
this
first full
longest,
season.
Yeah.
You've never been through this before, training camp.
Plus,
it's
you were all
beast.
Excited last year because it was all new.
Now you've been worn down by the rigors.
Adrenaline took you through last
year. That Belichick, he beat me down.
He has that effect on people.
Old Adam Vinatieri, I miss him. Now, there's a guy you can hang your hat on. Shows up at in the locker room every day when you're trying to write a story about a kicker instead of hiding in the training room.
So Goskalewski never showed up today?
No, amazingly.
He's ducking you.
What does he have to? I mean, shouldn't he be ducking people when he's getting kicks blocked? When he was getting kicks blocked, he was sitting there like with a sign.
Right.
Here I am.
Talk to me.
Now he's hit 9 out of his last 10, and nobody can find him. We got our paisano, P.J. Naccarelli. What's up, guys? Big win for the Pats this weekend. I am very happy about the win, but I'm a little concerned about turning the ball over in big games, Colts and Bears. What is the story with Doug Gabriel? I heard the game on Sunday, and his name was mentioned a couple times as he was on the field but didn't catch any passes. Will he be in the doghouse for the rest of the year? Should he be?
I'm not so sure this is a doghouse thing anymore. I mean, I don't think, if you're in the doghouse, don't you just not play? Like Bethel Johnson, you know, for example, wasn't even active in some games when he was quote-unquote in the
doghouse. But if they need him for whatever they want to do. And
seems like he's in blocking, feel as a punishment.
There's a puzzle there, and it's missing one piece, and we're not sure what that piece is.
Yeah.
And I haven't even seen vague references to anyone who has any idea.
No.
Usually, when these things happen, I don't think
it's all that important of an issue, I think they have five receivers that are interchangeable.
But usually when something like this happens, you'll read a report somewhere with just sort of a vague reference to something, and it doesn't seem like anyone has any idea.
No, and I agree with you. I'm offering maybe a reason why as to I don't think it's all that important.
Well,
I think if this was a key factor,
I thought he was better than Jabbar Gaffney. I still do. And
well, I think
Jabbar Gaffney's playing. So
I think he's probably better, but he's not playing any more than Jabbar Gaffney is.
I'd rather have him up there.
On the field one time the other day.
Oh, he played.
I'm sure he did. I just don't remember him on the field. I remember Gabriel on the field several times.
I bet he played more.
I don't think either one of them had a ball thrown in their direction, though.
Probably not. But that's not a good thing.
No, I just don't think it's necessarily that big a deal.
So it was just a flash in the pan when he was making plays?
No, I'm just saying someone else is making those plays now. Caldwell is. He wasn't making those plays before then.
Well, I kind of like to have two guys that maybe could make some play. I think he is better than Gaffney. So I'd like to see Caldwell and Gabriel out there.
Don't misunderstand me. I don't want to see Doug Gabriel on the field. I'm saying it's okay with me that Doug Gabriel's not, you know, the centerpiece of the offense, because I don't necessarily think it matters who is the centerpiece of the offense in terms of the passing game, because until that they can't throw the ball, I don't care who's catching it. And they've demonstrated to me over the last month or so that someone will catch the ball. Early in the year, no one was catching the ball, and it was a concern. Lately, you know, it's been Caldwell 1 week. It was Gabriel another week. It's Ben Watson 2 weeks ago against Green Bay. As long as someone's doing it, I don't have a problem with who it is.
See, I think they need to build consistency there. And I think going into the playoffs, you're going to need you have your two tight ends. You knew you had that coming into the year. You've maybe developed Caldwell. I'd like to develop somebody on the other side that I feel pretty confident about.
Some consistency that you feel a little better about now than you did maybe 2 months ago?
A little bit, but any team I look at and say, okay, the tight end's okay, they're okay now, and they have this receiver who's sort of coming on, I say, well, they need another receiver on the other side. I'd like Gabriel to be that guy. I'd like to see the Gabriel plays he made a month ago and the Caldwell plays he's making the last couple weeks happen in the same game.
Fair enough. Look at us having a discussion without even arguing.
And
who knew?
I just
have to leave or something.
I just started working on the
Dolphins
preview, and I'm going to be interested to see that game because that's the type of defense that's given the Patriots trouble this year. Even the Dolphins in the first game held them to, 203, something like that, 206.
A very low total yards
and
total, yes.
To be honest, I think Jason Taylor was injured back then with his back because he's been – we all had him, you know, pretty much buried and dead. He wasn't even thinking about touching Brady in that game. And I saw him another game, and he wasn't close. And all of a sudden, boom, he just broke out. It must have been his back, have been bothering him or something. But that'll be an interesting game because that's the type of defense that has been giving the Patriots trouble. And I mean, you know, I just got to be honest with you. I think the Bears have a good defense, and I know they cause turnovers against the Patriots, but I don't think that's the best defense to play against Tom Brady and the Patriots. I just think you have to get pressure. I mean, if you have to create it yourself, take a chance, do something. Just don't, if those four down linemen aren't getting there, you can't go into the fourth quarter still running the same thing. I don't think teams in the NFC make any changes from what we've seen.
I think the best element of the Patriots offense unquestionably is Tom Brady, and therefore the best way to defend that is to put him on his back. And if you keep pounding, I mean, Denver did it last year in that playoff game. They just constantly pounded on him and pounded on him. They ended up with 13 points.
And the other issue, I hadn't heard this until I did one. You know when you do a
one of those dumb radio things in some random place, and then they throw something out that you've never even heard. They said during the telecast they were talking about Brady.
You know?
Yeah, well, I didn't. I said I've never heard that before.
Oh, good for you.
I said they said that they were talking about Brady having a back injury, that his back has been bothering him of late.
I've heard that floating around.
And I hadn't heard it, and they were kind of tying it in, and I guess the announcers alluded to it could be the new turf, and I don't know.
Oh,
I said, I think that's ridiculous. I think if he has a back injury, it's because he's gotten the crap pounded out of him on a regular basis.
When he got a back injury that flared up over the last 2 days?
Yeah, that's stupid. But the back injury part is the part I want to focus on.
I didn't hear about the back injury. I heard that they were talking about the back injury.
Well, but usually when they talk, it means in a production meeting it came up, and somebody sort of agreed with them or alluded to it or something. So I don't necessarily just poo-poo it. And that's even more of a reason to say you need to pressure Brady if he's uncomfortable, if he has something that could be irritated and get worse during a game. And I think you're right. The Dolphins' defense has always given him problems, and that's a game where I'd say plays might be at a premium. If Doug Gabriel makes one play, that might be the difference between winning and losing.
Man, you get on his fantasy team and he'll back you for life.
I didn't even know that. Oh, God. I didn't even know, Tom.
I was riding a wave there for like 2 weeks. Remember those weeks when you kept going, Gabriel, gone, R tackled.
Well, that's what makes me laugh is, you know, you're saying, one play by Gabriel. What makes you think that's going to come? All you do is yell at me every time I said he was gone on one of those crossing patterns.
All right, Russell Early Doucette chiming in. Has scored his third touchdown in 3 weeks.
I was going to say, I like how you always call him week. Early.
And
do you
better
know who that is, Andy?
It's from Russell.
No idea.
He's a receiver for LSU. And he better have a good bowl game because I'm going to put so much money on LSU.
College fantasy team?
Well, no, I'm. I think LSU is a tough matchup for anybody in a bowl game because of the defense they play.
How about we start that up? Bowl season fantasy league.
College football?
I'm in.
I don't know how you would do it, because I usually do fantasy like they have a program.
You'd have to have somebody, some service that provided the stats and stuff. And
they might do it. I'd have to look
Or you'd have to do a boatload of work with a pen and paper.
I was going to say, or you'd do it like they
actually,
did it, you know, before they had computers that did it all for you.
Back when they were losers.
Why would I want to do it? Why don't someone out there see if there's a college bowl fantasy thing?
Or there's got to be some computer dork programmer listening to us that can just punch out a program and take the stats off Yahoo and run with it. You know, we want 50%
we'll
if this ever takes
that,
off.
Or just bet on the bowl games, which is also fun.
Well, I do have the bowl pool coming up. Do you like the bowl pools, Tom, where you have to prioritize your
I don't mind
picks?
Them.
I don't like those. I just like wins and losses.
Tom will take anything that involves putting money on a sporting event.
I just like
especially
wins and losses.
Especially bowl season. That's like wedding season for the wedding crashers there for me. I love bowl season.
So who's BC playing?
They don't know yet.
Oh, I thought I heard Mita Perel, their play-by-play guy, talking about being in Nashville.
Yeah, he says they won't be in Nashville.
Did you hear the names of some of those bowls? The something, 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 something point setter bowl? Come on.
Oh, I hate those.
Jeez. They're all like that now, Andy. There's no more peach bowl. Those, the blue bonnet bowl, those are all gone.
It's not even the Chick-fil-A peach bowl anymore. It's just the Chick-fil-A bowl.
Yeah, everything's gone. They have all these. You got to see it this year. It's the worst I've ever seen. They were running the scroll last night on the teams that accepted bowl bids, and the bowls were so long, it took forever. Like, Tulsa's going to the something, 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 blah, 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 San Francisco bowl.
What does it cost to do that? Have you ever seen numbers like what a company pays for a bowl?
I don't know, but I still want to have that study done on how much they actually get from it.
I just wanted to put my name on one.
I just missed the peach bowl. So Russell goes on and says,
I just missed the peach bowl. Underrated.
I love the peach bowl.
What was the one he had yesterday? The quick shot he had?
Oh,
Rutgers in the middle?
Great show yesterday. Nice and feisty. I am officially on the Lance Briggs watch. If Chicago doesn't franchise him, the Patriots must open up the checkbook. In the meantime, are there any able-bodied with some semblance of skill that can fill the void at linebacker? I also hope they can re-sign Asante just because he knows the system, and while not an elite corner, he's better than average, adequate, and what is the alternative? I'd rather them spend cash on Briggs if available than say Clements and try to re-sign Graham, though he seems to want to move on. Russell from the natural neutral zone of the sunny OC.
The what?
I don't know.
Natural sun or neutral zone?
He's from the OC.
He's from the OC, but he always has some little tagline that he puts, the sun-soaked OC or something.
So I'm guessing the natural sun?
I don't know.
I'm just questioning what the hell he just said. Well, I mean, it's getting more and more likely that we have the opposite of last year's draft, that they're focusing on defense. And I know they can't just do that because it involves the players that unfold before them. But you got to think they would love to come out of that draft with a starting-type corner and some sort of linebacker.
I agree, but I really felt like that last year, and they didn't.
Yeah, but now they have to.
Yeah, well,
I've been saying have to for 2 years, but they have to. Now they really, really have to.
As long as you agree with me.
But there's always corners, right? Seems like every year there's like five corners that are going to get drafted in the first round who come in and are projected as potential starters.
See, that's the thing, you know, the whole thing with...
is Ty Hill starting for anybody?
With Samuel. Yeah. I like Samuel a lot, but I think you can get a guy like Tyrone Poole for a heck of a lot less money.
He'll be good for a half a season
like
he was.
No, I'm not saying he's better or as good as Samuel. I'm saying he's comparable, but he's going to cost a lot less money. Right now, Samuel is looking forward to getting to unrestricted free agency for the first time. Tom wants a water. And I think that he's going to make sure that he cashes in on that. And that's, if I'm the Patriots, that's a concern to me because I don't want to necessarily be the one that allows him to cash in.
Well, let's just throw it all on the table here. Asante Samuel would be absolutely nuts not to hit the open market.
Asante Samuel's already an expatriate.
I mean, if the Patriots...
Well, he can get franchised. Right. There's things that can happen. Let's not do, you know...
But if he has a chance to go out there with what cornerbacks make with the season he's having... Now, if he was Ellis Hobbs right now, maybe you're thinking, maybe I'll stay. But...
Oh, plus Ellis Hobbs right now, if they approached him and said...
He'd say, I think, sure, I'll sign.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. Let's just assume that he was having a solid year like Samuel. Well, he's a couple years away from free agency. That's a different situation.
The give
situation.
And take. The give and take.
You know,
Patriots really have nothing to Samuel that he can't get.
I asked Samuel
else.
About this point blank today, and I said, I asked him if there was any negotiations that took place before now, and he wouldn't answer me. He didn't want to get into that. And I said, well, would you envision signing between now and the end of the season? And he said, no, absolutely not.
And he laughed, fell down, and was rolling around on the floor, grabbing his belly.
Which I agree with him. But, I just wanted to put it out there. I asked the guy the question, and he said flat out no. So I think that he is going to be content to get
he's an
to free agency.
Or they could do one of their things, you know, go to every other team in the league that is looking for a corner and get them to promise not to go after Asante Samuel. And maybe those teams will agree for some reason.
Yeah, call Parcells. Tell them not to touch Samuel and move Henry over to safety.
Is Henry a safety in waiting?
He can play some safety.
Isn't he sort of a waste of money at safety?
He's a bit of a waste of money now at corner, to be honest with you.
Where he's wasting the money?
Well, I mean, the whole value, if you believe like the franchise numbers and value on positions,
but
corner is
a
more valuable.
This is in theory. I have no idea. But in theory, if he was a better safety than he is a corner, isn't that money better served if he's playing safety?
I guess it, but it's still a waste.
Well, see, if I'm the cop.
Well, it's a waste either way.
It's like signing a running back to a $35 million deal and realizing he's a fullback.
Right, but I wouldn't advocate Andy going out and spending that kind of money to sign a safety.
Right.
But you already paid that money to a corner who's not living up to it. So now let's try to make the best of a bad situation and have him be more worth the money he's getting playing better at a different position. Maybe. Well, and I'm not saying that he could play safety because I know that Anthony Henry is a big guy and probably more physical. You would think that would lend itself to being able to play safety. I have no idea. Tom would know more than that, but you know, if it's not Roy Williams related,
I'm not sure
matter.
Tom's an expert on safety play.
Right. So if it's not Roy Williams related, it doesn't matter.
Wasn't it me?
He has biased views there.
Wasn't it me? What was wrong with any one of my? But wasn't it me who laughed when Adam Archuleta signed for that money? And I told you he couldn't catch a cold. He can't tackle nobody.
We all laughed.
But we all agreed on that one.
No. Then Andy said, "No, you're just biased against all safety." Andy, you were defending Adam Archuleta.
No.
You
I
were
said
defending.
He wasn't as bad as you said.
Right.
I said he wasn't worth the
and
money.
I would agree with Andy
no,
on that.
No. Nobody thought he was worth the money. I'll say that
no,
right now.
But I'm going to agree with Andy on this one because no one's ever as bad as you think.
You hold safeties to a very high standard.
They signed
need to
Troy
be to...
Vincent and benched Adam Archuleta that week.
No, but listen, you expect your safeties to come up, make 125 tackles, then drop into pass coverage, pick off six passes, go run.
That's not true.
Stride for stride.
I
with
like
wide
Kerry
receiver.
Rhodes. I like Brian Dawkins. I like Ed Reed.
Dawkins and Ed Reed are fantastic safeties. That's why they're the best.
There's a bunch of
my money says
I like.
That if you
I
watch
like
either
Sanders.
Of those guys every week as much as you watch Roy Williams,
you'd think a lot less of them.
How many Pro Bowls has Kerry Rhodes gone to? How many Pro Bowls has Bob Sanders gone to?
Who's talking about Pro Bowls? I'm talking about the way you are, that's my point, with guys you see often.
No, this guy's a fixture in Hawaii just because of his name, not because of his play. That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about your personal assessment on players. Yes. I think if you watch other guys
all the time,
you would think less of them.
And he's chewing.
But I think that you have... Look, you've kind of swung me on Roy Williams. I told you this before. But I don't think that he's as bad a player as you paint him out to be.
And neither do I. I think he's a good player.
He's not as bad as I make him seem.
No, because someone's got to bring it to the people the way it is. He shouldn't be going to the Pro Bowl. He should not be going to the Pro Bowl every year. He shouldn't.
I have no problem with that argument. I'm just saying. All I'm saying is, I've noticed a trend that you really... I really noticed it when we were watching draft film, and you were very... You critique safeties more than any other position. You have very... You know what I liken it to, Paul? One Dave Crisoli, who was a former host of Patriots.com, whatever they call it.
Who wants his guards to be able to run like...
Who was a former high school offensive lineman, and he thought every player should be able to make every... We'll pull the backside guard out all the way to the far sideline, and I expect him to lead the running back down the sideline.
Tom,
like,
we used to draw
unbelievable.
These plays. We used to come up with our own plays on the whiteboard in the office, and Dave always had these running plays.
Impossible blocks.
Where he would have, like, the backside guard had to come out and get around and hook the defensive end on the other side outside shoulder. It's like...
I think that's what you look for in your safety.
John Hanna on his best day was incapable of making the block that Dave Crisoli would. And he'd be like, what? You got to do it. You got to be athletic. You got to be an athletic lineman. You got to be able to move.
Just to recap, and this is all documented, you can either go back to past shows or Patriots.com. I said Adam Archuleta stinks, Roy Williams is overrated, and Darnell Bing can't play. If any one of those three things are wrong, then I take it back. I don't think they are.
Adam Archuleta does not stink. Roy Williams does not stink.
I said he was overrated. Adam Archuleta sucks.
Well, the overrated thing...
I think he makes way too much money and he's overrated, but I don't think he stinks.
They benched him. They gave him $40 million and benched him.
That may be, but I would
say... For Troy Vincent.
I think he
Every play that you saw on the Redskins for the first eight games...
First of all, I'm not going to pretend I saw all these Redskins games.
Well, then you don't watch any highlights at all.
I watch some, but not as much as you.
All right.
Formulate your opinions based on highlights.
Isn't that why you critique everybody for liking Roy Williams?
No.
Because all they see is on his highlights.
No, but I did watch Adam Archuleta for many years in college and at the Rams. I didn't work here for 10 years. I just started working here last year.
I stand by my prediction that those two safeties you mentioned specifically, Ed Reed, Brian Dawkins, if you watched them with the fever that you watch the Cowboys, you would think a lot less
of them. Adam Archuleta play for the Cowboys?
No.
No, he does not. Okay.
That wasn't part of the question. See, you're aligning yourself with a guy who you said stinks.
Didn't you tell me?
I'm aligning you with a guy who you've seen highlights on SportsCenter and say the guy's good.
There's a number of safeties that I think are good. There's only a couple I think stink. And I think Roy Williams is overrated.
If you watch those two guys on a regular basis, you would think less of them.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
We'll never know, but.
Addiction? Pain.
Nope. Wrong again.
Right again.
Nope. Adam Archuleta's on the bench. You defended him.
You're
defended
talking
Darnell
about a guy
Bing.
Who you said stinks. That's not the argument. You're doing a Fred Kirsch argument here. We're not arguing about that. We're arguing the fact that I'm saying guys that you are basing some of your opinion on based on highlights, you would think less of if you watch them play every game. Just like we watch Rodney Harrison play every game, and we see him get beat for plays. But he's a pretty god darn good safety.
I'll give you an example
of
a guy.
And so Brian Dawkins gets beat a lot.
You would think less of them.
But I'll give you an example of a guy. Troy Polamalu is a guy that I see highlights every week. The guy looks like the best safety in the world. If I'm going off the full 60 minutes I see against the Patriots, I've never seen a worse safety in football. I've never seen a guy get picked on as mercilessly as the Patriots pick on Troy Polamalu every time they play him.
It happens with every player in every sport. It happens in baseball all the time.
That doesn't mean he's not a good player.
You see a guy in a series and you go, wow, he's great. Then all of a sudden you start watching more and you go, ooh, he's not as good as he was in that Red Sox series.
Frank Catalanato.
Yeah, I used to love him.
So they didn't want nothing to do with Archuleta in St. Louis. Then the Redskins signed
him. Why are we stuck on Adam freaking Archuleta?
Because that's what you're, that's what you're saying I'm wrong about.
No, actually I'm not.
Hey, Gary, why don't you play last time the three of us did a show together in the beginning of the season where these two guaranteed that Corey Dillon would rush for 1,000 yards?
I guaranteed that Corey Dillon would rush for 1,000
yards. First of all,
you both did. I guaranteed it, or someone did a fact or fiction, and maybe I said fact.
No, we had an argument where we were yelling and screaming.
There's no way I guaranteed
Gary. Hey, Dan Heffernan. Dan Heffernan, chime in right now.
First of all,
Gary,
it's
play it.
Heffernan or whatever your name is, the guy who does the
Gary,
Christmas.
Gary, you go find any tape you want. I know you don't have it anyway, but
I'll
guarantee that I never guaranteed that Corey Dillon would rush for 1,000 yards.
You both said he'd rush for 1,000 yards.
Said or guaranteed?
There's a whole different argument there.
Said he would rush for 1,000 yards.
If there's a fact or fiction out there that someone wrote in and I said fact, that might be true. I, without question, did not bank anything on that, saying I guarantee that he'll run for 1,000 yards.
Well, I guaranteed it, and I was right. Next, Rob,
does anyone pat themselves on the back more than
Has anybody been right more than Tom?
No.
Has anyone never been wrong?
Has anyone been wrong more than Tom is the question.
Not on safeties. Rob Kreppel comes in. Who won the fight, Junior or Pepper?
Tom.
Yeah,
Tom won the fight.
Tom was right on that one.
Yeah, highly overrated story, the whole fight thing. We'll talk about that next week in next week's edition of Patriots Football Weekly.
Okay.
Paul trying to keep the wraps on something over there.
Dave from Cambridge.
Oh, not the wraps on you. You know it.
Well, Dave apparently everyone knows it because how did that guy find out?
The fight is out there.
Paul will provide some new information next Tuesday's PFW.
The fight was in Sports
Well, it might not be new by that time, but...
What'd you say, paper champion? I'm going to beat you like a dog!
Dave from Cambridge. Hey, guys, my brother and I were talking about the failed double reverse the Patriots tried against the Bears. He said if it had been a savvy veteran like Troy Brown rather than Caldwell,
incorrect.
Although Caldwell is a veteran,
you don't not run the play that's called.
Well, he said he would have seen the space in front of him and just
held on
to the ball for a big gain rather than hand off to Jackson.
No way.
Even Gary's not shaking his head in disgust in the other room.
So
after hearing Brady and Belichick both say you don't do that on Monday.
You can't do that.
You can't.
It's like...
The play is designed to go somewhere. It's designed to go somewhere. The blocking, everything.
I mean, even Gary.
Players lose their job because... That was a delayed reaction.
All right, we'll change it. Fred.
Players lose jobs over not carrying out their assignments, by the way. You know, you get cut for stuff like that.
Right.
But it reminds me of that situation when Belichick had one of his film sessions with us a couple of years ago, and Bill was talking about how you switch the blitzes on defense, and it was Roman Pfeiffer and I think Bobby Hamilton on one side, and depending on if the tight end went in motion, a different guy. I forget all the exact details of the play, but he was talking about how they find out who, you know, someone's a backside guy, the back leaves so the linebacker can go. And one of the writers asked, well, can he just go there, or does he have to, if he doesn't tell anybody, can he just go? And Belichick almost laughed. It's like, no. I mean, you have an assignment to carry out. Well, it's the same thing on offense. I mean, you have an assignment to carry out on a play. You can't just do whatever
especially
you want.
Especially here. I think there's some lesser coaches who a guy would freelance, make a play, and they'd pat him on the back. I think if you freelance here, Richey, you could go for a 50-yard gain, and I think Belichick would chew your ass out. Because more often than not, when you freelance, you're going to screw us. You might get one lucky every once in a while. More often than not, you screw us.
And I do agree with the emailer that the single reverse appeared to be there. It looked like they really over-pursued on the initial pitch.
Yeah, it did, but you just can't.
But you can't do that.
And then I've heard somebody else pose, well, why don't we make it an option for the first guy who has the ball or whatever? I've seen enough of those handoffs go wrong.
As
you got guys scissoring back and forth, they need to focus on just running the play at hand, not
reading
stuff. We
all agreed it was probably not the best play call that they've had this year.
Okay, we got John from Palm Bay on the phone. What's going on, John?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, John.
Hey, I just had a quick question. Have you guys heard about any people the Patriots might be looking at in veteran free agents for linebackers?
Dan Piper.
Like maybe Monte Bicel or Chad Brown or...
The last I heard, both of those guys, Bicel and Brown are on rosters, the last I knew. Has that changed? Bisel was in Arizona and Brown was in Pittsburgh.
I think Brown's still on Pittsburgh. I don't know about Bisel.
I'm pretty sure.
How about a guy like maybe Roman Pfeiffer coming back?
I mean, I would be surprised at this stage if that were to happen. But you know, I was surprised that Junior Seau came out of retirement too. So I wouldn't rule anything out. But Bill was asked about it today, and he just said that they didn't have any announcements to make right now. And I'm not sure it's higher in their priority list, to be honest with you. I know they worked out several linebackers earlier in the year, several street freak. Chris Claiborne was here, and Orlando Ruff or Huff. I never know which one is which.
I just don't think they think there's anybody that can help them.
You know, yeah. And I suppose that the Pfeiffer situation would be intriguing because he does obviously know everything here, knows the system. And I just think at this stage, he's played, what, two games in the last 2 years?
Something like that,
because
yeah.
I know the Giants brought him in late in the year.
He got hurt immediately.
Yeah, I don't see him fitting in. But
yeah, my brother heard on a chat site that they also might be interested in bringing back the guy who retired 2 years ago. I can't think of his name right now.
Ted Johnson?
What's that?
Ted Johnson? Is that who you're talking about?
Ted Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be happening.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I would be very surprised by that.
On a lot of levels.
Very surprised. All linebackers right. Got you...
Thanks, John.
Linebackers got John all in a tizzy. But, I mean, I don't know.
Everybody always looks, though. I think that's an interesting phenomenon, like the instant fix. Oh, who we signing to come in and start tomorrow and... win games for, well, if the guy's on the street in early December,
right?
Don't you think he could help somebody else out? The 2-9 Lions don't need linebackers. Boss Bailey, I'll take him.
Not according to Bill.
Has Boss Bailey done anything in his NFL
Boss
career?
Bailey and Ernie Sims, very athletic. I don't know if you heard, but they have athletic linebackers on the outside.
And
he returned.
Dre Bly
a
had
touchdown.
A lot of picks a year ago.
Gary wants to take a break, but I'm going to say no. We're going to read one more question before we take a break.
I'm going to say no.
Josh and Jacksonville.
You could have not done any of that, just read the email and then taken a break.
Well,
we're not professionals, Gary.
Well, we have to read this one before Paul leaves. Hey, guys,
taking a shot
quick question. Have you thought about our old boy, Mr. Drew Bledsoe? How bad must he feel? He has another Brady in Dallas. On every team he has been on, he's been outperformed by his backup.
Oh,
do you
think
any
other
team
disagree with that
will give
in
him
Buffalo,
another chance, or does he just plain out suck?
I would say he's all done, but I would strongly disagree with that characterization.
It's only
Buffalo.
Two out of three.
Lossman's been awful.
And the only place he could probably go to is Oakland, and if he wants to go there, then God bless him, because I don't know why you'd want to go to that team and take more punishment.
It's close to Washington.
I think he should just call it a career, but you know, that's my selfish reasons.
Okay, so we'll be back after these fine commercials.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson.
First round draft pick in 2004 to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the Oregon Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed in normal delivery vehicles for your qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CMS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Rich Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
This is PFW in progress.
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
PFW in progress.
All right, quiet everybody. Our director will be here any minute and we'll start rehearsal. Here he comes. Attention everyone, here's our director.
With Fred Kirsch.
Oh no, we're doomed.
Paul Perillo.
Rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
And Andy. And Andy?
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel.
Andy Hart.
I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
I'm never happy.
Some guy named Tom.
Rats. You've been dumb before, but this time you really did it.
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
That's right. What about my part? What about the Christmas Queen, hmm? Are you going to let all this beauty go to waste?
PFW in progress.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown! Mark the hell.
All right, we're back at PFW in progress. Father Christmas, Paul Perillo is gone. Charlie Brown was actually on last night. Paul, the king of all Christmas, despite not liking Christmas trees.
Paul kind of looks like Charlie Brown.
What else doesn't he like? He doesn't like Christmas trees. He doesn't like Christmas music. He doesn't like dressing up.
Yeah, don't wear anything that might have like a Christmas theme to it.
Well, although he loves Christmas.
But he loves Christmas.
Actually, he likes the Papagino's box.
So, that Charlie Brown was on last night.
And speaking of on TV, right now on the NFL Network, for anyone who might be at home, the Patriots game is on NFL replay. If you want to watch some more of the Bears-Patriots matchup. I was just watching Urlacher, and one of those plays that shows you how good he is. Everybody says he runs around, doesn't get blocked. I just watched him get blocked, get off the block, and still tackle Lawrence Maroney for a two-yard game.
Well, I don't know, Andy. I think you put too high of standards on your linebackers.
No, shut up.
You got anything else to say, or should we get to emails, or I don't care. It's webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
Since we're PFW in progress and we always let our outside affairs come onto the show, I got to leave it three by three.
Okay. Well, hey, by the way, did you see this commercial? Isn't this kind of, just for those that are wondering what we're talking about, Dallas Clark was injured in the Eagles game, and they have a Madden video, a commercial for the video game of Dallas Clark getting knocked out by Eagles players and then says, how does it feel? Then he get a concussion?
Well, but that was playing before the game.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
It's been like for a few weeks now.
Madden curse.
But it
that's weird then.
It really is. I don't like to buy into all these stupid curses, but for that to happen, I mean, that's a little weird.
I thought they did it after the game.
Did you see the Junior Seau commercial?
I thought he was on the cover, right, Junior? Who is on the cover this year?
Sean Alexander.
Is he really?
Oh, jeez, that's amazing. All right.
How much they pay for that? Is it really worth it to risk it? I mean, if you're like one of the players, or somebody like me,
I got a feeling some people will probably have probably turned it down.
Like if they come to me and I'm Sean Alexander, I'm an MVP, I make a good contract, and they say we give you $100,000, no bleeping way,
no way.
Do you know, Gary? You're a marketing guy. You have any idea what something like that ballpark?
Probably
figure?
More.
Million.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, so maybe I'd have to think about it.
I wonder if it. Because people will gunning for them when they're on the cover.
No, nobody's thinking about who's on the cover.
No, just because, not because they're on the cover, but because of how much pub they're getting.
Well, but what came first, the pub or the cover or the, you know, he's on the cover because he's the MVP, so they're going to be gunning for him either way, whether he's on the cover or not. Right? I mean, he broke a record. I just think it's dumb luck, but it just seems to happen a lot.
Next topic. The host
has fallen asleep.
I was waiting for Gary to reply. I thought you were replying. You're done.
I'm done.
Made your point. Okay. TG in Jersey says, "Hey guys, very good show yesterday,
but not today.
Your reaction to the fans' reaction to the Bears game was interesting. Glass half empty. Too many turnovers. Got to protect the football. The loss of Junior Seau. Glass half full. Too many turnovers. Yet we still won the game. And let's give it up for the O-line. Great job." My question is, what do you guys see the Patriots doing to improve their game during the rest of the regular season? Which areas do you think they will be concentrating on? And he says, Fred's not in today? Good. Now I don't have to scramble to adjust the volume once he takes off on some nonsensical rant.
First being the most obvious is holding on to the gosh darn football. You know, not turning the ball over like they've done way too often of late, especially against good teams. Second, I would say, for me, you know, it's the running game. You know, the passing game maybe is what it is at this point, but we're supposed to have the young rookie running back and the old vet, and all I see is 2.4 or whatever, or 2.5. At some point, I'd like to see them come out and just have a dominating running game.
It seems like the only games they've really had where they ran the ball well are just against teams that cannot stop the run at all.
Right. I'd like to see them do it when somebody's decent at stopping
it. And I got news for you. Other than the Colts, not too many of those teams are going to make the playoffs because
right.
If you can't stop the run, you don't stay around too long.
Right. At some point, you need to. Now, maybe you can do what you did against the Bears and just say, well, I'll run the ball 35 times just to stay balanced, but not really have a ton of production. Maybe that'll be enough, but you're going to have to run some if you play Broncos, Ravens, Chargers, any of those teams that make the postseason.
Yeah, because if you're one-dimensional against those teams, you'll get killed.
You're one and done.
Yep.
If you're one-dimensional, you're one and done.
All right, Joe from China Village, Maine. Good afternoon. I just finished Paul Perillo's Moving the Chains, the outstanding bio of Tom Brady. I added the Paul Perillo. This Charlie Pierce's. In one chapter, he explains the presence of the Piss Patrol and made a great observation. Pro football players need performance-sustaining drugs more than they need performance-enhancing drugs. The use of painkillers is common knowledge to us fans. It's not a stretch to assume players are doing everything they can to get back quickly after an injury, including the use of steroids. if we fans expect the ball players will mortgage their future to play next week, then is the fan base engaged in a moral debate or a public health debate?
Huh?
I don't know.
I don't really get the question. I mean, I think we generally agree that there are plenty of players who use everything to gain an advantage. It's a tough sport. You're getting beat the crap out of you every week. You need certain things to maintain your muscle, to recuperate, all that. Beyond that, I don't really get the question.
Because we know and we kind of don't care. Is it a moral issue?
Well, yeah, I think there's an issue there.
I don't have any moral scruples, so I don't care.
But in general, it seems like people care about baseball, that they're in baseball, it's cheating. In football, it's gaining an edge or something. I don't know. It seems like people seem to care more about baseball. Oh, yeah, there's the penalty that wasn't called. Despite the fact that two Patriots defensive backs tackled him.
Over Bernard Berrien.
Amazing. But anyway, yeah, the Patriots got screwed in that one. people don't seem to care in football. And I think part of it is the league that does a great job promoting itself as we have a great drug policy and they're tested and no one ever fails. And, you know, that's part of it, but I think it's a facade. I mean.
Well, and we talked about this before you came down. I think part of it is that it's taken for granted that people in football are doing it. Like,
right.
They know it's physically, you need to be the strongest, the fastest guys.
But I think that maybe that's what he's asking. Why is it okay that they do it?
It's probably not, but I think that's the reason why they get upset in baseball. The two reasons Paul and I came up with was that. I said that it was probably because, you know, it's just taken for granted and it's assumed in football,
right,
that when you're 350 pounds and you're running 4.8 40s, it's not natural. And, you know, then Paul mentioned the records in baseball that, you know, other than the NFL rushing record, which is probably the biggest record, and even I don't know the number that Emmitt Smith has,
right,
for that record, you put that up, that's nothing compared to the baseball records.
Right.
And, you know, the people don't like to see baseball records broken if you're cheating. It doesn't matter.
But it's
baseball,
like,
football, basketball, you can forget it.
They're all dirty, but, you know, Rafael Palmeiro test positive, or Mark McGwire, and people hate him. Sean Merriman test positive, and he's back, and they still love him. So, I don't know the answer, but it's definitely an interesting divide.
Okay. Good stuff.
Do you not have an email?
Yeah, I got one. It's from Brian.
Brian Lowe?
No, Brian in Farmington, Connecticut. He said, hey, guys, Tom is correct. Well, there's a shock. Harrison is not that nice of a guy everyone makes him out to be. A couple of years ago, while sitting in my seats at the Razor, I lost any and all respect for Harrison when I saw him grabbing his crotch and gesturing at us fans prior to the Patriots putting another whooping on those jerks. It was pregame, and he was acting like a huge rectum. I can understand not liking what you're hearing from the fans, but grabbing your junk in such manner should be a finable offense. So
it
as far as
is.
I'm concerned, he's a Richard head. Oh, good luck
head
to Junior. Happy holidays.
So who does he hate? Rodney? And
yeah,
why is what? What?
No, Marvin.
Oh,
were you here when we talked about him?
No.
I said I think he's an overrated
guy. Oh, yeah. No question. Well, that whole thing, that kind of came out when The Edge was talking about how the three of them, they were always like the three key building blocks, and they didn't really get along. Not a good situation.
So, yeah, it's...
But you know what?
He's quiet about it.
There's a lot of jerks you're rooting for in that locker room, Brian.
Well,
so,
they don't think so.
Yeah, well, they don't know.
Who's
your favorite player? If you have time, get back to us. Tell me who your favorite player is, and I say there's a better than 50-50 chance I could bring up a specific incident that makes that person out to be the ass that he is.
All right, that's Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly.
I think there's a lot of asses in this world. I'm probably one of them. Tom's probably one of them. Gary's definitely one of them.
Oh, I'm one of them.
I mean, there's a lot of bad people that look out for themselves. That's just part of it, and I think you glorify too many people.
If looking out for yourself makes you an ass, then I'm the head of the asses.
Right. He looks out for himself. It just really hasn't gotten him anywhere.
It's working out. Matt. Hey, guys. Great cast today, though I do like Fred more than Andy seems to. Tom, can you give me opinion of Matt Ryan, even though he's two drafts away from the NFL? I think he has all the tools to be a top-round pick. As for Gostkowski, maybe the rookie gag rule has been put into effect. Well,
maybe.
That's tough. My point would be, once again, well, when he was missing, they let him talk to the media, and now that he's actually making kicks, he won't talk.
It could be because he hit the long field goal that was very important. They don't want him to sort of toot his own horn or whatever.
I mean, Matt Ryan, he's a decent player. I'm going to have to see him play at least two more years, though. You're right. He's got some physical skills, but I'm not ready. I don't like, unless it's a running back, I don't really like to anoint people when they're freshmen. And you can kind of tell, like when Adrian Peterson and Bo Jackson and Herschel Walker were freshmen, hey, these guys are the real deal.
Well, plus
quarterback
it's the nature
is
of the
a
beast.
Different.
Quarterback, you have it's as much about the head and the heart and all that as it is physical. I mean, running back, you hand a guy a ball and he runs. You kind of know it either way pretty quickly.
So, I mean, he's off to a good career, and we'll have to see if that continues the next 2 years. If it does, I'm sure he'll have a shot in the NFL.
Should I ask you something? That's the BC guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Phil from Austin.
Phil.
For some reason, he addresses this to me. Tom, I thought the Bears game reminded me of some of the games during the 2003 season. Close game, defense getting turnovers, good crowd, making just enough plays to win. Do you think Watson let too many balls hit his pads? Seems to me he should be catching more with his hands. What do you think?
I definitely think he should be catching more with his hands. I think catching the ball is a little bit of an issue with him.
Yeah.
But you know what? He caught most of them, right?
Yeah, he catches.
So that's
most
better
of them.
Than not. So.
So it's. I mean, he's having a good year. He can't complain. He just there's a couple that seem to bounce off.
I personally think he's having a great year. Regardless, you know, take away the expectations that I thought were unfair and ridiculous coming into the season. I think he's having a very, very good year for what is essentially his second year in the league because he missed his whole rookie season with a torn ACL. And if you believe that whole ACL thing that it takes an extra year to really get back, I think he's having a pretty good year.
Yeah, me too. He's having a very good year.
But everybody thought he was going to have 152 catches and go to the Pro Bowl and all that crap, so everybody else might be disappointed.
I don't think too many people are disappointed in Watson. I think maybe the fumbles last week, but what are you going to do? Here are two.
Not fumble.
Well, the one I'm saying was a tough one. The
well,
other one
was, yeah, the one on the sideline, that's.
That's his fault.
Yeah, keep that tucked in. But the one on the hit, it is what it is.
Here are two off-the-wall questions. Do you think Adam Vinatieri would still be here if we had field turf last year?
No.
No. He wanted out.
He wanted out because the more we read, he was getting screwed on a number of different fronts, possibly. Allegedly, I got to be careful here, by the management of this team. We've now read two reports, one saying he was the agent, you know, Neil Kornreich advises Bill Belichick there was some impropriety there, and now we have reports of a handshake agreement between Bill Parcells and the Patriots to not pursue Adam Vinatieri and let them re-sign him. I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure not too long ago, Major League Baseball owners had to pay like $300 million for that exact same thing called collusion. When they all got together and said, we're not going to go over X number of dollars to sign these players. You can't do that. It's illegal. We live in a capitalistic market where it's free trade. I might be wrong on that. I don't know. No economists email in and tell me I don't know capitalism.
The second question is Mike Wright too big to move to inside linebacker? Yes.
Yes.
That's all that needs to be
said. But I guarantee if we walked in there and said, Mike, you think you could play inside linebacker? He'd say yes, and he'd probably say better than Teddy Bruschi. He's a very confident guy in his skills and his athleticism, so he would certainly try. But I think the best-case scenario for Mike Wright is to stay as a nice little backup defensive end and carve out a nice little niche on special teams and not get too far ahead of ourselves with him.
Well, we were talking about bowl games before, and Mac in Somerville asks, okay, guys, which is the more ridiculous name for a bowl game? The San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl or the Gaylord Hotels Music City Bowl? Definitely the first one. That's the worst.
Wait a minute, though. BC might be going to the Gaylord Bowl.
No, if they're going to, that's the one in Nashville.
The Gaylord Bowl.
The San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl is the worst name of all time.
And by the way, we apparently have the answer to my question, because if a local community credit union has enough money to buy a bowl, it can't be that much money. That's not Bank of America or one of those big times.
Yeah.
It's the San Diego Credit Union.
I mean, what's next? The Patriots Football Weekly?
I think we need to get one. We need to look into it. We'll blow our advertising dollar for the year on buying a bowl. Then we can go and we'll hand out PFWs and we'll be like the important
people. That doesn't even work in training camp.
Yeah, that's true. It's because we have Carol doing it.
Good point.
And that other kid. Who used to go, Rosters, Weeklies. Weekly what?
And then tell you how you were getting screwed.
You can buy it up the street much cheaper.
Oh, that boy. Fred, he really knows how to hire.
Kyle, you listening to that? You'd fall into that category.
Does Kyle listen to these shows?
Probably not. If he did, we'd have to take his shoelaces.
So if he's not listening to the show, what else is he doing?
Breaking news on Patriots.com. Has that been verified yet by anyone else?
I don't think Asani Samuel knew.
Defensive player of the week for his performance against the Bears, according to Patriots football, Patriots.com's Kyle Kasady. We don't want to be aligned with him.
We got to get him back on the radio before he goes and he gets some of that insight.
I thought he was here.
Well, I thought, well, have you guys seen Asani Samuel?
Now, when does Kyle leave?
Did you take a dump in your bed last night?
When the season ends. Or maybe, yeah, I would say when the season ends.
Heck yes!
Right, first week of January sometime.
Does he know that?
Okay, bye.
See a subtle slide in it.
Does he know that?
I hope so. I hope he's realized he's not sticking around. Just kidding, Kyle, again, if you're listening. All right, we got another email.
I just saw Bernard Berrien make a catch over the Pro Bowl cornerback Asante Samuel.
Pro Bowl? He's beyond Pro Bowl. Remember yesterday he went from Ty Law to comparing him to Richard Seymour. Oh, by the way, you think Richard Seymour stinks. I forgot about that.
I don't think he stinks. That's not what I said. I said he wasn't making enough plays for my liking, and he made enough last week, so now I'm off that because he showed up. Boy, Paul took a vicious shot at us on the show last night.
When?
That Ellis Hobbs shot, he said these two, Tom and Andy, would tell you there's no difference between Ellis Hobbs and Asante Samuel. Yeah, in June.
Right.
I've kind of changed my opinion since
he
then.
Broke his wrist, and it's clearly affected his play.
It's not even close now.
But Paul's falling into the trap. It's like a four-week span. Give me 4 weeks when Ellis Hobbs is playing his best football, and I think they're relatively comparable.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry. I just don't think the divide between Ellis Hobbs and Asante Samuel is like the same as between Asante Samuel and Champ Bailey.
I'll go a step further. I thought in the Colts game, Hobbs was their best corner. I mean, he was on Harrison tight. I mean, he didn't always make a play, but he was there. Samuel was getting beat like a rented mule.
And the other thing I'd like is talk to me when Ellis Hobbs is in his fourth season. And, you know, has the experience. Asante Samuel was a nickel guy.
Yeah.
He made some plays. Ellis Hobbs has essentially been thrust to play, you know, second half of his rookie year. You have to be one of our best corners, otherwise we're screwed.
Right.
So give me a little while to see how. I think he struggled last week. I thought he stunk.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Flat out stunk against.
He was terrible
the Bears.
Against Miami when he covered Welker in the slot.
Right, but that doesn't mean. I mean, it's not really a fair competition. He's had like 20 pro games or something, if that.
Okay, we got Shane in Miami. Hey, guys, I just tuned in, so I don't know if you have already touched on this, but what are the chances of going to the 4-3 now? Also, please give me some more info on Eric Alexander. How has he progressed? How good or bad is he? He might be the first backup now at middle linebacker.
Eric Alexander, he's made some plays in the preseason. He's made some plays on special teams, but I'm not going to pretend to know all that much. You know, we don't see him practice once training camp stops. So I think he's an option. I don't think I would put it this way. I think there's better potential of having success if you throw Eric Alexander out there than Don Davis or Larry Izzo. We know what those guys are. They're not every down linebackers in the NFL. Maybe Eric Alexander could be. I don't know either way. And as far as the 4-3, I thought it was interesting that when asked about the options sort of moving forward and who would be the first guy off the bench, and as he was he himself brought up, and, of course, we have the rotation, and we can go to some 4-3 if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely have seen him sort of throw that out there as an option. So I thought that was interesting and somewhat telling. My mind would guess if one of those four guys at linebacker goes down, can't play, whatever, you have a very good chance of seeing some four-man fronts more consistently.
Okay. I guess I would agree with that. Eric Alexander, I mean, you know, he's never in the game.
Right.
So it's hard to say, you know, how good he is, and, you know, whatever.
whatever.
Gary just handed me something.
Why is it like a 20-page document?
It's a Colts running back Joseph Addai, Patriots cornerback Asante Samuel, and Bills wide receiver Roscoe Parrish named AFC Players of the Week for Week 12. So there you go. It's Asante Samuel and Joseph Addai. That could be Lawrence Maroney, but they don't want to give him the football. Alex Sanders asks, what's the definition of a shutdown corner? I read that as a cornerback who excels in man coverage, but what else does he need to have? Could you see Samuel developing into such a player?
No.
I think you need to have God-given skills for that. Like your Champ Baileys, your Deion Sanders, they were given skills that not every human being has, and that's what separates them, I think. From And I'll tell you what, Deion Sanders made a good point when I was watching the NFL Network. Was it the Cleveland game? Yeah, I think it was the Cleveland game. They threw a fade in the end zone, and he said, I don't know what the corners in the NFL are doing. He said, when the ball's in the air, it's your ball too. You can go up and get it. You don't have to just knock it away. And I think they have that mentality where they want that football, and they go the other way with it.
And I also, I think there's God-given physical talent. I also think there's God-given physical instincts, mental,
yeah,
beyond just the cockiness, because I think a lot of them have the cockiness. But you need to, I think Ty Law had it. He just knows,
yep,
when to let his receiver go and when the
ball. He does.
He just has instincts. And no, I do not think Asante Samuel is in that type of class. Or I also don't think it's really something you develop into. You improve it,
yeah,
but I think it's something you come by rather naturally, and it shows pretty early on in your career.
Yeah, there's not too many of them. I mean, there really isn't.
No, you don't develop into a shutdown corner in year seven.
Right.
Just be, all of a sudden you worked a little harder in the offseason. I don't think that really happens.
Luis Nova says, looking back at it, why do you think Pete Carroll failed as head coach in New England?
We like to have fun. I don't think his mentality necessarily fits the pro game. I think the situation was bad.
Chris Canty's a smart kid.
The drafting at times was bad, but I think the situation, you had Bobby Greer and a back office, I mean a back stairway, and players going up to complain to him, and Pete Carroll did not have total control, did not make all the decisions, did not even have the total support of anyone. So, you know, I think it was a bad situation. That said, I don't really think he's made for the pro game. I think his whole rah-rah style is perfect for the college game, and I think he should stay there forever.
I agree. I think he's totally made for the college game, and I'll tell you who else is made for the college game. But he's not the same type of coach as Pete Carroll, but his antics only work in college, and that's Tom Coughlin. That tough guy thing. Listen, these guys, unless you're like Belichick or Parcells, it's just not going to work, buddy. Not in today's NFL. They make too much money, and they just get sick of you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of thing in college that you can run a tight ship like that. But I think if Coughlin went back to the college level, he'd be a good coach. But in the NFL, I just think unless you win Super Bowls early on with that type of mentality, it starts to grow old, and you lose your players.
Right. And Coughlin might have a chance to go back to college soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
That's true.
And the other thing is, I don't think Bill Belichick would have succeeded here in the Pete Carroll era under the same confines as Pete. If he worked here when Bobby Greer was also in charge, I don't think Bill Belichick would have succeeded. I think Bill Belichick was smart enough to know that if he was coming here, he was getting full control.
Right.
And I think that's part of it. And, yeah, I think most coaches would have failed under the atmosphere in place in the Pete Carroll era in New England.
Okay, and on that note, if Gary is prepared, we will now take a break.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From the first round draft pick in 2004 to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official new replica helmet exclusively from the Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh my darling, oh my darling, oh my darling.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality.
So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
All right, we're back here at PFW in Progress. Tom Casale and Andy Hart talking about a little bit of everything other than the Patriots. web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
I just saw the one play when James Sanders got absolutely trucked by Cedric Benson.
Benson ran him over.
And to be fair, he slowed him down, because otherwise, if he wasn't there, it might have been a touchdown. But
heard it.
He just runs him the bleep over.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I guess Hawkins might have made the play. I actually thought Sanders had a decent game and made a 3 or 4 tackles that he was the last guy. You know, a couple open field type tackles. So, you know, I think we might be seeing him sort of.
I don't want to say that his weak point is coverage, because I don't want you to jump down my throat and say that I think every safety sucks. But
he was running stride for stride with the guy when he tackled him.
Right.
At least he was there.
But I'm saying that's the knock on him, is that you can exploit him in coverage.
But I have no problem with that if he can do the other well enough. You know what I mean? If he can be an in-the-box, true, strong safety, I say Bill Belichick can overcome
his
coverage.
Well, see, and that's my whole
needs.
Point with guys like him, like with Roy Williams. My point is that I don't care if they struggle in coverage, but you need to be a good tackler.
Right.
And that's why I don't like Roy Williams as much as other people, because I think he makes big hits, but he whiffs on too many tackles.
I think Roy Williams is a guy Bill Belichick would have fun with. Because I think he would reel him in enough.
Right.
Maybe not, but I think he would at least try. And
if Williams did what Belichick wanted,
he could make him into a better player.
Right. I think he has too much freedom in that defense. If you could reel him in a little bit and use the attributes he has, I think he could be as good as people think that he is.
He's a guy that probably reads his own press clippings and thinks he's the best there ever was. Mm-hmm.
But with James Sanders, you know, if, like you said, he got ran over on that one play, but if he gets in there and mixes it up and is able to tackle, then if he gets beat every now and then, I can live with that, because you know what? He's not a cover corner.
Right.
He's a hard-hitting safety type guy, and I can live with those plays once in a while. You know what I'm getting?
Well, I don't want to see Christian Fourier, beating him. If I see Antonio Gates beating him, or if he can't handle the great tight ends, but can help me with the other tight ends, help me with some backs, that's all I'm looking for, if he can be the guy up at the line of scrimmage. Because, again, I think it's a tough position to play in a lot of levels. I think we've seen some good things that make you say, okay, maybe Sanders is a possibility. Mm-hmm.
because they need to start developing some of these guys. They need to have...
They need some linebackers. You can't just... These guys aren't going to play forever. Bruce
right.
Key and...
They're Roddy not Harrison's two major injuries in the last year. I mean, do you think he's coming back? If he does, how long? You got to start developing. Asante Samuel gone? I mean, there are going to be some openings that need to be filled.
And it'll be interesting because they'll have money next year, so... It'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
The only problem is it's not a great free agent
year
in some of the spots. I mean, at linebacker, it's Briggs, then the special teamer guy from Baltimore, and not a lot else. At corner, it's like Clements. Samuel might be next on that list.
Right.
So,
and I got to be honest with you. I think the way the Colts paid Wayne to stay, I think the Bears do the same with Briggs. They know that their defense is the bread and butter of that team.
They might.
And why break it up now? So I find it hard to believe that he'll be on the free agent market.
Yeah, they might. And they've spent money. I mean, Urlacher, they re-signed Vasher to a big deal, mm-hmm. right? Brown, I think, got a good deal
at one
point.
Yeah, he got a good deal.
So maybe they say he's one of those key three, four guys that they can't lose. Tommy Harris is probably coming up soon.
Yeah.
Although based on some of the guys in Chicago,
he'll be gone.
Is it the early Tommy Harris who came out of the gates flying or the guy who played the last few weeks? But yeah, they might say Briggs is a guy we can't lose. We want him.
Okay. Bob Lee from ESPN and
outside the lines.
You guys are football geniuses. Well, we can't argue with that.
Well, so, now that Paul and Fred are gone.
So from an analytical point of view, why do players fumble? Is it more physical or technique than mental? Do the Pats keep records on how fumbles are caused or what led to the fumble? And finally, with Caldwell's fumble on recovering Watson's fumble, was that simply greed on his part to try to gain more yards when the yardage gained by Watson was already significant? Finally, would Belichick, this is like Paul reading a FPFW on our TV show. Finally, would Belichick chew a player out if he recovered a fumble and then just went down on his own, satisfied with recovering a fumble? You want to go into the history of fumbles? Go ahead.
Well, a few different things. I'm sure Bill Belichick keeps track of fumbles. I'm sure he keeps track of what foot the guy jumped with when trying to catch a pass. I mean, they're very detail-oriented in terms of film and that sort of thing. So, yes, I'm sure they keep track of it. I don't think he would chew a player out for going down necessarily, depending on the situation, obviously. But one of his mantras that we always hear is one of the most important things on offense is you start the play with the ball, you end the play with the ball. So, you know, anything that could put that in jeopardy, he's not a big fan of. I do think the Caldwell thing was a little bit of greed. I think you sort of got your break on that play, get down. And the other problem I have with it is no offense to Riche, but I just don't think of him as like Ed Reed, a guy who every time he seems to touch the ball, he gets in the end zone. Riche, you're a nice player. I don't think you're a speed burner or a playmaker. We've had our luck. Get down. We'll take the 20-yard gain or whatever it was, and we'll live to play again. Especially in the game that was, he talked about it. Caldwell himself said we were drilled in that they're coming after the ball. Maybe that's one you just say, I'll get down and we'll regroup here.
Yeah, it's just tough, though, like when you're in a game, though. You get the ball in your hands, and your first instinct is to run forward.
No question. But in terms of, like, fumbles, I think there's all types of fumbles. There's technique where the guy doesn't necessarily have the ball secured away, all the points covered as they, you know, the different mm-hmm. points of security that Kevin Falk talks a lot about. I think there's some where it's in the wrong hand. I think there's some where they just get killed. They just, you know, you put a helmet on the football. That's why they teach it on defense, because it can cause fumbles. But I don't think there's any one. This team certainly hasn't shown any one glaring type of fumble or anything like that. It's just, it's been an issue, and I don't know how you necessarily solve it.
Okay. Well, Brian chimes in. You asked for them to name their favorite player. So he says, gotta be Brady. Almost named my firstborn Brady. Then remembered my rule. Never name a kid after a celebrity. As you are correct, Andy, no one is perfect. You could name your kid after your favorite sports star, and then 10 years down the road, find out the guy is a child molester.
That's
nice
true.
Job, Dad, naming your kid after a child molester. Brilliant. Ended up going with Benjamin, who turned 2 on Thanksgiving. Say
nice.
Happy birthday to my boy, guys. Sorry, I don't like kids.
I'll say happy birthday, Ben. Can I call him Ben? Benny? Benji?
Yeah, I've been trying to talk my wife into Bo, and she hasn't really latched on to that one. In fact,
still going with those loser names.
Seems like the two names are Jackson and Cameron.
Oh, God almighty. Listen, if you name your kid Jackson, I'll pick on him.
Well, he would be Jack, I'm assuming, right? Like, once he gets other kids around, they're going to call him Jack, I would think. And I would assume he'd probably be Cam.
Jackson Bo Hart?
No, Bo is not allowed anywhere near the name, apparently.
lost that one, huh?
Tom Brady? Well, some things that I think he's done... His are not as glaring.
Oh, so you're a fraud.
Well, I don't think he's a great guy at times. But I don't see anything glaring. I think he has some issues. He obviously went through that whole phase of dating that drunk slut who danced on tables. What was her name, Gary? Why can't
Tara Reid?
Yeah, the one who had the mangled boob job, yeah, and had to have it done again. There would maybe have been a little error in judgment there.
And not to cut you off, but there's Lovie Smith calling a timeout before Gostkowski kicked. Now, if I had talked to him today, I could have provided you some insight on that, but I did not. I'll continue.
Okay, Brady, but at least, you're a sensible fan. You don't think they're all great, and you sure as hell don't make the mistake of naming your son after him.
You do what I do. You name your dog, you put the middle name as Emmett. So now you have Max Emmett Casale.
Wait a minute. Speaking of losers, your dog has a middle name?
Well, if you fill out a thing to do, you know, like to get him certified or whatever, they have a thing that says middle name. And Allison said, do you want to make it Emmett? And I said, all right. So if you want to be a loser, do that. Make your dog's middle name Brady or something like that. Don't do it to a kid.
If it's a dog, it can be first name. I don't care. Call the dog Brady.
Let me ask you, though, and this is totally not cowboy related. I do kind of like the name Dallas. Do you like that name for a boy?
Yeah. I don't mind it.
It's not bad. You know, as far as the new quirky names go.
Yeah,
that's the
problem. I'm more traditional.
Yeah.
I like to keep to, like, the first 30 names in the book.
Right.
Not all the new ones they've added in the last 10 years. I'm not big on it, but my wife wants it. She'll probably get it.
Tell Deidre I'm strongly against Jackson. Strongly against Jackson.
Yeah, I don't
think
I can tell her that, because she seems to be strongly for Jackson.
Oh, man.
It doesn't bother me as much. I've never known a Jackson, first of all.
Jackson Brown, the singer. He sucked.
What does he sing?
He sings terrible songs. Got any Jackson Brown over there, Gary?
Gary, could you chime in with some Jackson Brown for me?
What's the famous song? There's one that I know you would know if you
apparently
heard it.
Not all that famous, because you don't know it.
Well, I know the song. I just can't think of the name of it. Nah, he's got nothing.
All right, we'll take the next email.
This is Chris DeVoe from Raleigh, North Carolina. Or Devo. Too hard to tell, really.
Or you just can't read because you had a trouble with Michael.
That was spelled wrong. Guy's misspelling his own name, I think. First off, I love the show. You guys come across like a bunch of pals talking football in a bar, and that, to me, is what being a fan is all about.
Pals?
Actually, Chris, we hate each other.
So, you should see us on the road. We go our separate ways. PFW is a four-taxi team.
I mean, Fred, he's got his own thing. Paul, he's too good for everybody. You know, I just want to be by myself, and who the hell knows what Andy does.
That is true. What do I do?
Oh, you're usually rooming with B-Lo while
That's
I'm
true.
Laying out on a huge bed.
Stuck with that pencil name.
Now for my question. I was wondering about how many high draft picks talented guys who turned into NFL busts are ruined by their team and bad coaching. Is Joey Harrington really that bad, or did Detroit break him? Is J.J. Arrington that bad, or is it just that god-awful O-line in Arizona? How often do you see one of these guys go elsewhere and succeed, or are they permanently screwed if their career starts on the wrong foot? Just curious on what you guys think.
I actually think that's a huge part
of
it, because I think when the guys, especially first-round pick type guys, they have the physical, and it's about, A, the mental, and B, the situation. And I brought it up yesterday. I'm worried about my guy, Vinsanity. If Norm Chow leaves and you suddenly get into one of those situations where he might have 1, 2, 3 offensive coordinators in his first 4 years, I think that can retard a quarterback's growth immensely.
Yeah.
And I think that's I often wonder, you know, if Akili Smith or if some random guy who stunk came into a situation where he backed up Drew Brees for 2 years and got some good coaching and
how many of those guys would be good?
Yeah.
And you'll never know. It's not a question you can really answer because a lot of it's confidence. Once that's gone, they're sort of just scarred for their NFL life, and then they just go away. Plus, they get a certain perception out there that they can't overcome. Because I've seen plenty of quarterbacks that I think stink physically. But they have some success because they're in the right situation with the right coach. Or, you know, Chad Pennington, I don't think is that good.
No.
I think there's other quarterbacks who have had worse careers that are better than Chad Pennington. But maybe they weren't in the right situation.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I'll give you three came to mind. Jim Plunkett was a bust. Tyrone Wheatley was never a great player, but he left New York where he did nothing.
Yep.
And Jimmy Smith was picked in the third round by the Cowboys, went to the Eagles, did nothing, and then turned out in Jacksonville to have a great career.
Right.
And the other way I'll go with what you were saying is David Carr. I bet you if David Carr didn't take that pounding he took in his first couple of years, he'd be, I mean, I know he's having a pretty good season this year as it is, but I bet you if he went into a different situation, he'd be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And I'm not just saying that because I thought highly of him coming out of college. I just think those 2 years of pounding that he took, now he's a little gun shy back there.
Yep.
And, like you said, I think David Carr has more talent than Chad Pennington.
Right. And it's circumstantial and, yeah, and I think you see, it's easier to see the examples the other way of a guy, you know, a Denver running back leaving and then failing, and you say, well, that was a good situation out in Denver, or a certain defensive scheme that a linebacker just has a great year and he leaves, then you go, wow, he's not really as good as he was in that other scheme. So it's easier to see the good because those guys usually play a couple of years, get a big contract, and you're sort of focusing on them and realize, well, they're not as good. It's harder because I think they're scarred for life once they're in a certain situation. And then they're sort of given up on by the league.
Especially at the quarterback position.
Oh,
you're
no
always
question.
Going into a bad team,
no
pretty
question.
Much, unless you're like Cutler.
Right.
You pretty much always go into a bad team. You're going to take a pounding. You're going to play early, you know, and
right. And then
sometimes you just go away.
It's a concern, I think, a huge concern. Like Matt Leinart, he's a guy that had all the success at USC. Now he gets into the league. Well, what if this little trend, they change coaches this year? They might change coaches, get a new offensive coordinator again, and he stinks for 3 years. He could be scarred. And I think he probably is a guy that has the talent to be an NFL quarterback, but who knows what happens there. Or, you know, Vince Sanity, I think he's off to a good start, but what happens there? And he's a guy that I think has the ultimate confidence, maybe more confidence than he should have at this point. But, yeah, I think that mental and the whole situation, it's a huge, huge part of it.
And with it happens with how good the franchise is too. Because if you're Arizona, you got to bring in an offensive-minded coach. I mean, you've put all your money in offense. You have a young quarterback. If they bring in a defensive guy, you know, who doesn't understand offense, who hires a bad offensive coordinator, then it goes back to your point. Now you're screwing with Leinart, and
again,
maybe he becomes a bust.
He's learning the fourth system. You know, Bledsoe went through it forever here, where they kept bringing in new offense, new system. Yeah, it's a tough situation. It's a huge part of it that no one can ever quantify, predict, or in any way, I don't think, track, but it's an aspect of the game, one of those, what do they call it? It's not a scientific evaluation.
All right, we got James Edwards in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. He said, after hearing all the concerns over the team's chases against the better AFC teams come playoff time, I say that the Patriots and their fans should just focus on the games that they have left this season, try to win as many as they can over the next 5 games, and then worry about who they may play and where when playoff time comes. I doubt there will be 4 teams with 13-3 or better records in the same conference at the end of the season. I wouldn't doubt that highly. It has never happened before and will most likely not happen this year. If I had to pick a team to win out, I will go with the Patriots. Well, there's a shock. They have the easiest remaining schedule of the 4 AFC teams leading their respective divisions and have a record of doing that in recent past. As far as the turnovers, the team has time to work on getting the problem fixed and should resolve it by the time the playoff comes around. Okay, why? Why will they resolve it by the time the playoffs will come around? Just because...
As we've said, it sort of dates back to last year. Which is worrisome. And they might resolve it between now and the playoffs in that they might not play any teams that can take advantage of it, but that doesn't necessarily mean if you play, well, they do play the Jaguars, so you might see it there, but a good physical team that it's not going to crop up again and cost you in January when it matters most. And by the way, I agree with you. Don't the
The Patriots could go 13-3.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens could go 14-2. The Colts could go 15-1. So both those teams have at least a game to
spare. But those teams could definitely go 13-3.
Right. No, that's what I mean. They have
the Chargers, who won four games without Merriman.
Right.
Now Denver goes to San Diego.
It's a legitimate possibility. It might not happen, but
the reason why it might happen is because the NFL sucks.
I don't think it sucks, but I don't think there's any very good teams.
There's a lot of bad teams.
That's
the problem.
And then there's a group of like eight good teams.
Like, just take Buffalo. Okay, they're going to San Diego this week. Now I know Buffalo has been kind of on a little roll here, but I bet you they get slaughtered.
They should.
You know, I bet you they'll get just slaughtered. Now, there's a team that's 5-6. You say, well, you know, they're coming on a little bit. But they're not good. We saw what happens when they play a good team. They get whooped.
They are not good. The only concern I'd have is the Chargers, to me, have been sort of playing a little worrisome brand of football, getting behind and coming back and having to make plays. At some point, a team can take advantage of that. You give Losman too much confidence, and all of a sudden he makes a couple plays, you know, those big 85-yard plays or something, and it gets out of control and you can't come back. But there's no question, the Chargers, in my mind, the Chargers are probably the most talented team in football, should be the best team in football. I don't know if that happens, but you look at that roster and it's just, wow. You know, some of the guys, from quarterback, tight end, running back, defensive line, linebackers, there's a lot of talent on that roster.
Yeah, there is. Well, we were talking about names, and Brad Hughes chimes in with, I'm a big Star Trek fan, so my dog's name is Spock. I'm also a Star Wars fan, so I thought if I ever have a kid, I'd name him Luke Skywalker Hughes, assuming a boy. Probably a good thing that I never had any kids. Yeah, I would say so.
But Brad, I don't have a problem with Luke.
No, but Brad, the Skywalker needs to go.
Yeah.
Are you one of those people who stands out in line for tickets? Because if you are, I don't like you. That bothers me. I saw people standing outside for toys and tickets. Oh, for Christ's sakes. It really bothers me. So hopefully you're not one of them. But if you're going to name your kid Luke Skywalker Hughes, I'm assuming that you stood out for tickets.
Right. You're a big time loser if you're going with Skywalker as the middle name. I actually promoted Luke as a name.
Yeah,
I thought you
were going with that.
Apparently, and this isn't just my wife, you can't have two short names because my name is Hart. You can't have Luke Hart. It has to be like two syllable first name because it doesn't something. I don't know.
Fred Kirsch?
And look at him.
Is it Andy Hart?
My name's Andrew.
Oh.
So, like, you can't.
So, now I'm confused.
Because it'll be
it.
Jack Hart.
Right.
There's no doubt
exactly.
If it's Jackson, it's going to be
Jack Hart.
Isn't he a famous political guy, Gary, up in your neck of the woods? Isn't Jack Hart, doesn't he host that St. Patrick's Day thing every year?
So,
but Gary, have you ever heard that? You're one of those, like, metrosexual types. You'd know this sort of thing. That you
go
have to have,
yourselves.
Can't have two short names.
I don't think it's that common.
Okay.
Bob
Lee.
Yeah.
Ty Law.
It's always going to be cut down short.
Mike Hart.
Or someone's going to call your kid Jackson, and nobody wants that.
All I'm trying to avoid is, like, just some Dick Sweat or one of those. I'm trying to avoid the thing that'll get him beat up and made fun of at too early an age. He's going to get made fun of at some point, but I don't want it to be obvious.
Man, your wife's a bit eccentric, isn't she?
Yeah, a little bit.
Judging by the colors of your house and the names of your children.
Yeah, she's got all the issues, there's hormones and stuff probably working. I don't even know how that stuff works, but they say that becomes an issue, and she seems to cry a little bit easily lately.
Yeah. Brad checks back in. No, I don't stand outside for tickets, and the Skywalker thought was several years ago. All right.
I've come to my senses.
Good. You know, some of us used to be nuts back in the day, too, so as long as you've grown up and realize that, you know, used to be a little out of control, we can accept it.
Right.
Well, we're at the end here. We're out of emails, so Andy, go ahead. I know there was big talk around here about a Super Bowl between Dartmouth and Everett. Is it Everett?
Everett.
Everett, Paul's school versus Andy's school, but Andy's school blew it by losing last night in a game they should have won easy.
First, I'll start off with the high. I'll praise the Dartmouth Indians for their first undefeated regular season in 22 years. Dating back to 1984, I believe. But they came up short, screwed by the MIAA in Massachusetts, the youth sports organization or whatever, who bowed to Brockton and gives a 5-5 football team a home playoff game against a 10-0 Dartmouth Indian squad, making them go into the ghetto of Brockton where all those criminals live and take on the home team. Unfair advantage. Dartmouth fought the good fight, a couple costly turnovers in the second half, a blocked punt, and the Indians failed to win when they missed a 31-yard field goal with 22 seconds to play. 15-14, Brockton prevailed, unfortunately. And Everett, I don't know, they won like 31-6 over Xaverian, so they'll be in it. As I've said all along, Everett is the most storied high school football program in Massachusetts, except for the short time when Paul was there and they sucked.
And speaking of Mexican hookers, here's John Rook.
John, what's
very
up?
Very good. I like that. That's nice. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, we were just, you know, we ran out of emails for the last 2 minutes, so Tom allowed me to talk a little high school football.
Understood. Understood. Yeah,
talk about the old alma mater. Do you call it an alma mater in high school?
Yeah, it's an alma mater. Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Paul and I were aligned for a potential Division I Super Bowl matchup.
Ooh,
he
really?
Went to Everett, and they had their playoff game last night, and I went to Dartmouth, and they had theirs. But
and what happened in the respective playoffs?
Everett won 31-6 or something, and Dartmouth lost 15-14. Some costly turnovers, and as I said to Tom, they got screwed by MIAA because they had to play at Brockton.
Ouch.
And Brockton, a 5-5 football team, because they apparently have a deal with the league, the MIAA. They only play high school football playoffs in Massachusetts on field turf,
mm-hmm.
which I'm hoping this becomes a facility in the near
future.
Should
be. I think it'd be great.
It would be tremendous. They used to do it at the old Foxborough Stadium when they had turf.
I totally remember that.
And
that's
kids
exactly
loved
right.
it. It was, I mean, that's a cool
that's
thing.
That's because they didn't have soccer on there as well,
right.
so they wanted to use it for other things.
Right. But I guess Brockton is one of the best sites, but Brockton has said, we'll only let you use our field if you promise when we're in it, we get to play a home game. And the MIAA bows to them for some reason.
Well, you know what? Actually, that makes sense from a Brockton point of view, obviously.
Yeah, from a Brockton point of view.
And I can understand it to a lesser extent from the MIAA point of view.
I would tell them to go screw.
But you take care of that now by saying, all right, we'll just go play everything in Foxborough.
Right. That's what I would do.
And think of the kids. I mean, how it would be unbelievable
it would be
to play at Gillette Stadium.
Especially, I mean, you're talking about a playoff game, seniors, might be their last game playing Gillette Stadium.
Gillette Stadium.
You know, use a locker room that Tom Brady might have walked through once or something.
It's a great idea, and I think, you know, I'm sure the Patriots are probably already marketing that.
I would think so, and you could probably get some good crowds because people might come. Well, I wasn't going to go, but it's at Gillette. That's pretty cool. I'll go.
Probably get anywhere from what, 5 to 10,000?
I'd say more than the Revs get. No offense, Revs.
No, that's probably about true.
I mean, seriously, it's once a year. High school teams, you get all the parents and the proud parents out here, have fun, taking pictures of their kid on the Gillette Stadium turf.
Easily pulling.
Tom Casale would be there watching every year.
Tom would be there.
I don't
think
so.
That's right. So are we pumped and jacked for the Lions or what?
Not really.
No. No?
No.
I could care less.
This is sort of like the Packers. If it's anything but a blowout, that's a bad sign for the Patriots.
Well, I'm sort of reaching the stage now. It's kind of like, you know what? I just want them to get through these last five games with wins. I don't really care how they win. I want them to win because one stumble and they have no shot of getting a bye. None.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen so far.
I don't think they have
much
shot of getting a bye right now. I think that's
one
more loss.
Right. I think they will. I think ultimately, I think San Diego and Baltimore are going to lose again, which I do believe that will put the Patriots in position for the bye. That's my own thought.
Well, I haven't looked at it close enough, but one of the things that's it's a problem for the Patriots is their AFC record. If they get down to that tiebreaker, they have three losses in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
Baltimore,
at least
one of their losses is to Carolina.
I think the other two at most have two losses and maybe only have one each. So you're trailing in the tiebreaker. So you sort of need to win it outright. You can't tie with it.
Which means then those other two teams would have to lose twice.
Right. So it can happen. I mean, obviously there's a lot of football to go, injuries, who knows who goes down or freak games, but I think it's definitely an uphill battle to get one
of
those byes.
And what that tells you, though, is that they have no room for error.
None.
So, like I said, as far as style points are concerned, I'm not really into the style point thing right now.
Right.
At this stage of the season, I want them to just win out, take care of business, don't lose anybody else like you lost Junior Seau, if you can, you know, avoid that kind of thing. And then hopefully, you know, you're in pretty good shape. I mean, after all, defensively, you can't argue with the numbers. Defensively, they're having the best season that they've ever had in terms of yardage allowed, certainly points allowed.
Right.
So, it's kind of hard to argue that. I mean, we can sit here and nitpick the secondary and whether or not Richard Seymour's playing up to his capacity at tackle or end or whatever, you know, you want to do. still can't argue with the numbers.
That's the bottom line. So, points allowed.
Points
Bill
allowed.
Belichick will tell you that anytime you ask. The bottom line statistic. Points allowed and winning football games.
Points allowed. Couple that with, you know, a few, you know, key well-timed takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we can get some Brady accuracy to return with reasonable assurity, then
I say he's
in good shape.
I say he completes 60% of his passes this week, right, Tom?
Yeah.
They run a zone, and apparently you just give up passes in the zone all the time. That's what Bill said.
Is that right?
Well, the Lions are giving up a NFL record 68% of their
pass
passes
completions,
against,
right
now. And, I mean, that's just a mind-boggling statistic for me.
It is. It also tells me, though, that's not all in the secondary. It also tells me that, whoever's rushing the passer
is
they're not getting squat.
But he asked Bill about it, and
Bill said that they run his own defense. It's going to happen in any zone defense.
Yeah, but Bill, it's never
giving
happened.
Up 68%?
It's a record pace. So I'm sure other teams have run a zone and not giving up that many. You know what I mean?
It's because they have a better pass rush.
Right. So, you know, Bill... And plus, it's Wednesday, and the Lions
right.
are great today.
Right.
Next week, he'll...
Yeah, I left wondering how the Patriots would ever have a chance against them.
I know.
Although...
That's what I love about Wednesday press conferences, by the way.
You sort of catch the little inconsistencies from week to week, because all he talked about was how Dre Bly had a lot of interceptions last year. Well, thanks, Bill. I thought last year didn't matter. I thought last week didn't matter. Now, all of a sudden, you're praising a guy because he was good last year.
And his biggest compliment about John Kitna was after he threw an interception, he blew up a defensive back trying to make the tackle.
Nice.
So just know
at the bottom of the barrel.
When Kitna throws an interception this week, watch out for him making the tackle.
Maybe what John Kitna could do is if he throws an interception, he should go blow up Mike Martz.
Yes.
That's anybody blowing up Mike Martz is a good idea. And on that, for Andy Hart, Paul, Ebenezer Perillo, and Tom Casale, we'll be back tomorrow where Fred Kirsch will be here for an hour, so his three fans chime in.
Think of a